We have an animal-themed podcast today on Movie While Us. We review Keanu and The Jungle Book. It's time for Movie While Us. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And yes, D as well.
Movie While Us is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings.
Hello.
Hello.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Meow. Quack, quack, quack.
Oh, my word. I don't know what to say about that.
I know.
Woof, woof. So we have kind of an animal-themed show today. It's interesting that these things always come together, right?
They
There's
do.
Always,
yep.
When you get one thing, another thing.
So like all vampire movies or like ghosty movies and now all like Zootopia, What Your Pets Do.
The Secret Life of Pets.
Yeah, Secret Life of Pets. All these animal movies, which I love.
Yes.
Finding Dory.
Finding Dory,
that's
yes.
coming out this year as well. But
yes.
Anyway, it's been a while. We've been... We spent a lot of time covering the Tribeca Film Festival, which meant that we had a couple of weeks without regular podcasts. So for those out there, we're happy to get back on track and also do something we haven't done for a while, which is our Netflix picks in our section. I can't find anything to watch on Netflix. And for those of you who are regular listeners, you will know that this section is to address a complaint that the three of us often hear, which is, despite the wonderful choice that we have on Netflix, there is often such a difficult way of navigating through
Correct.
All of it to find something that you want to watch. So we figured we'd try and come up with a recommendation per podcast. So with that said, Yasdi or Rashmi,
Yasdi,
what are your picks
you go
for the
first.
Week?
So remember one of our favorite movies last year, more so for the two of you than me, was The Diary of a Teenage Girl. And
yes.
As much as I love that movie and I continue to love that movie and I love everything about them and the actors in there, I think a superior version of that movie came out about 7 to 8 years ago.
Wow.
Oh.
Which starred a very unknown but still terrifically good Michael Fassbender, and that movie was Fish Tank.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
And continuing with my theme of foreign films, this one is not exactly a foreign film, although it's a very quintessential British movie.
Are you
I guess it is foreign.
Foreign?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
Yes. Fish Tank is about a hot-tempered, kind of very angry teenage girl who lives kind of on the fringe of, you know, society. You know, she lives a pretty impoverished life with her single mother. And her single mother happens to bring in a very handsome, much younger man as her boyfriend. And much of Fish Tank is about her relationship with this boyfriend, and it starts getting to a dangerous place. And it's about teenage sexuality. It's about, you know, appropriateness and inappropriateness of family behaviors. And it's also very, very quintessentially British somehow. That movie kind of, you know, the projects in which she's living, it all seems to me very specifically of that time and place. It's a bruising movie. It's sometimes hard to watch. But it's absolutely brilliant. This is a great, great director who's, you know, made it. And I can't wait to see what she's made, what she will do again. But my recommendation, really, if you're looking for something challenging and exciting and something which will really shake you.
It's very gritty.
Yeah, Fish Tank.
I remember, and I think we may have touched on that one when we were talking about Michael Fassbender sometime on the podcast, because I remember... It took me a year or two to forgive him.
Yes.
Correct.
And that's how convincing his performance was. I mean, I despised him.
It's the first time I noticed
movie.
Him.
So, yeah, what a great pick. And that's, I think, all we need to say about that.
Yeah.
Watch it. It's a great choice, Yasdi. I second that.
Yeah, I do too. Okay, mine is a documentary called Code Black. It's actually one that we saw at LA Film Festival. I'm really happy to see it's on Netflix. It's a film made by Ryan McGarry, and it takes us inside the world of the public hospital in LA for how good the work is that these people do in the emergency room. And that makes it sound dull. This is not a dull movie. This is a brilliant movie about people who are so passionate about the work they do and the people who come through the hospital. And it's basically about an emergency room in a really important part of the US. LA is such an urban, large, sprawling city. And the work this hospital does services hundreds of thousands of people. Brilliant documentary.
Yeah. Great movie, yeah. Well, I remember seeing that and it had a huge impact on me at the time. In fact, I think we've reviewed it as part of our LA Film Festival
coverage
in an earlier podcast. So Google the Movie Waller site and with the word Code Black and you'll come up with that podcast. My pick is something completely different. I'm bringing the pom-poms this week. And
why do?
I know,
I
right?
I didn't expect that.
Surprisingly, Bring It On is being released. I think it starts streaming today, May 1st, on Netflix.
Yes, dear, my jaws dropped.
Look, I
had a really... I'll defend the movie too. It's a great
film. Good. It's good, yeah.
I'll call it the best cheerleading movie in today, which not that I'm an expert in cheerleading movies at all, but it's a great sports movie. It kind of tackles lots of high school themes. And like the best of those movies, it puts you right back at what it's like to be at that age. You know, it has many of the themes that we struggle with as teenagers, and it's just a great fun cheerleading movie. So Bring It On. It's a completely different tone, but if you are in a dark place having watched Fish Tank and Code Black, then this will certainly turn that around for you.
Yeah, good choices.
Okay, so let's get into our reviews for the week. We have Keanu and we have The Jungle Book. Where should we start?
The Jungle Book.
Okay.
So I remember I was a child and I went to the Sterling Cinema in Bombay to watch Walt Disney's animated movie, The Jungle Book. And it was one of my defining movie watching experiences as a child. It was at that time when I was very impressionable and, you know, people right now watch, you know, their kids watch Frozen 100 times or they watched, you know, Finding Nemo 100 times. For me, The Jungle Book, the animated movie, was just part of my life, and it's indistinguishable from who I am as a person. And so for me, this, when I heard that they were making a live action version of this, it filled me simultaneously with joy and fear. What can I say about The Jungle Book? It's a story about little Mowgli, which is a little Indian boy living, who through a series of circumstances is left in the jungle, and he grows up with animals there, including Shere Khan and Bagheera and Ka and King Louie. And, you know, there's this wonderful assortment of characters who he interacts with. And it's essentially his story of whether this little boy should go back to human world where he belongs, or does he really belong with his animal friends that he grew up with in the jungle? And that's what Jungle Book is about. This one is directed by Jon Favreau, a very interesting choice. I wouldn't think that Disney or anybody else would pick Jon Favreau to make the live-action version of it. But it's got a pretty tremendous voice cast. It includes Sir Ben Kingsley. It includes Bill Murray. It includes Scarlett Johansson.
Idris Elba.
Is in it. Lupita Nyong'o.
Christopher Walken.
Gary Shandling, who just passed away. Amazing voice talents. And then the title character is played by... young little Neil Sethi from wherever he is from. But that's The Jungle Book. And the movie already has made a ton of money. It's been the number one movie in the US and I think internationally for 3 weeks in a row.
And remains
as of today. So I saw this movie only about 2 days ago. We all missed the original screening, but we caught it on our own time. So what do you guys think of The Jungle Book?
Divinely sublime. This is my favorite movie of this year, maybe even of last year. This is like the archetypal movie that explores nature versus nurture. I had a huge smile on my face, and when I didn't have a huge smile on my face, I was weeping like a baby because it was so emotional, and it's sublime, beautiful, stunning. I can't think of enough superlatives.
Yeah, I enjoyed the heck out of this one. This Movie has a way of disabling me emotionally at many, many points, just from its sheer beauty, some of the themes within the story, the ideas of friendship, and the danger that exists within the jungle, and in particular the character of Shere Khan. I mean, there's not a lot to say. I think everyone knows the story of Jungle Book, Rudyard Kipling book, the original Disney cartoon. So, you know, this is very faithful to that journey that we all know so well. But the movie is just handled so stunningly beautifully from start to finish, that I found myself just in awe. And Rashmi, I think you said it, you know, this, because we didn't see this via an official screening, Rashmi and I were able to discuss this as soon as we had seen it. And you made the point that you didn't want to leave this world in which the movie placed you. The same thing. I can't wait to see it again. And I think it has one minor misstep, but that's kind of a personal grudge. But let's hear what you had
about it. I'm dying to hear what you thought, Yazdi.
Yeah, so I think for me personally, and I think for people who grew up around that time in the 80s or younger, you know, that the original Disney cartoon is so iconic that it's almost difficult to top that. So I'm just going to go with the level of difficulty here and add to that the fact that most of the movie, the best I can tell, is a single actor, human actor, Neil Sethi, the little boy, interacting with what looks to me like all CGI animals. Just look at the level of difficulty. I don't even know if the word directing is right in this instance. It must have all been green screen. And look at the product. It just seems like it's like lightning in a bottle. It seems like, yep, a miracle that what has come off at the other end. And let me just also go on record to say, I hate talking animal movies. Okay, I hate them. People find monkeys in movies funny. I cringe when I see monkeys in movies. I hate talking animals. Like, you know, there have been so many talking animals, talking penguins and talking whatever. I hate that stuff. But from the first minute in this movie, every time every animal talked, it just completely broke that wall of unbelievability, because of the right voice talents. I don't know if, you know,
the suspension of disbelief here is complete.
Yeah, because I don't know if it's Ben Kingsley voicing this panther so perfectly that I stop believing that this panther can talk, but it's the expressions on the animals and how they say things, and it just, you're just completely in this world. And I just, from that level of difficulty alone, I think it's a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment. I wanted to be more emotionally arrested by this movie than I actually was, which is surprising.
Really?
But I still marvel at the wonder of it all. It's quite an achievement. I think this movie should win many awards in the technical categories come end of the year, if not others.
I mean, for me, it's my favorite movie of the past 2 years. I mean, I was blown away at just how it made me feel and how I connected with it. And I think, you know, Life of Pi springs to mind as that kind of experience where, you know, you have this world and this beauty around you that's implausible, but yet somehow right in the moment. And this movie just, boom, nailed it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's no way this is not realistic, right? This is not a real movie. This is an experience, but I think it's so metaphorical in the way that it captures those relationships and friendships. But it's the wonderment, right? There's also this fun, there's this fun energy in the movie. There's this breathtaking cinematography. It's hard to talk about cinematography in a CGI movie, but it's beautifully shot. It's about how we felt when we watched The Lion King, that opening scene in The Lion King, where you see this amazing jungle come together. This has that. This has all of those elements of Disney movies put together in a really elegant, smart way.
But it's incredibly,
but it's more
well,
emotional.
It's incredibly well written, but more, I think, it's incredibly well directed. And I think there are moments in the movie that, and written. I mean, you know, Rashmi, again, we spoke about this already, so sorry if I'm reiterating, but there are some gestural moments in this movie which are so incredibly hard to do. There's a moment where Shere Khan demonstrates his power by the placement of a single paw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that moment blew me away because the restraint in trying to create power through soft-spoken dialogue, there were so many beautiful little touches like that throughout the movie. I think just while I'm talking, there's one little misstep that I think the movie had, which
was that?
I didn't care for their interpretation of the King Louis character.
Yeah.
Right.
I've heard that from a couple other people,
And it's a minor thing, but I think artistically something more akin to what we had in the original would have suited me better. And I don't know whether it's my own expectations, because Bagheera was so perfect, because Baloo was so perfect, because Shere Khan was so perfect, because the snake, I forget the name of the snake,
Kaa
was so perfect in everything. And then we had this King Louis, which was very different to the one that I'd seen before in a way that was off-putting. And it's a tiny little misstep, but it did just knock a point off it for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's been a long time since I've seen the original animated movie, but it does seem to deviate, not in terms of the story or the setting or any of that, but in terms of that character in particular. For one thing, he seems to be much larger.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and the other thing is he also seems more sinister,
mm-hmm.
you know, than he was in the animated movie. But yeah, those are all small things. Yeah,
but I think it raises the stakes in the movie, and I think that's where it succeeds, right? Because it's no longer just this fun fable of adventure, boy with his two friends walking through the jungle. There's some tangible fear that we as the audience really feel and empathize with, but just even the relationship between the mother, like his mother.
Akila.
Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful and grey, his little brother, right? So again,
yes.
Like, so this whole thing of nature versus nurture, like, who are we?
Mm-hmm.
Are we a product of who we're born of, or who we are raised by and who we're raised with? I was breathless. Like, I came out and I couldn't speak. And like you said, Joe, it's the first movie I can remember where, as the credits ran, I wish I could have run outside, purchased the ticket, and gone right back into the movie. I haven't had that experience in a long, long time.
You'll be happy to know that Jungle Book 2 has just been announced with Jon Favreau as the director.
So we had this discussion about the ending differs very slightly from the cartoon, just very slightly, and it's the absence of a particular final scene, that's all I'll say, which led me to believe that it was opening it up for a sequel, because that particular event ends Mowgli's journey.
Mm-hmm.
And so, interesting. Okay. Well, I'm not unhappy about that. I mean, I must say, if they can craft something that is as genuinely clever, and I don't know Rudyard Kipling's book, whether it did go on to have
it was a series of books.
They were actually fables, using animals.
Terrific. So I'm over the moon about that.
Yeah, and the other thing which amazed me about this movie, it's kind of a weird thing to say, but I'm going to bring it up, is I was trying to see, you know, how did he go about getting these people and to voice them? And then I remembered, you know, that of course Scarlett Johansson was in Iron Man 2, and she was also in Chef. And so, you know, she's worked with him. Mm-hmm. And then Scarlett Johansson has worked with Bill Murray in Lost in Translation. So maybe that's how they got Bill Murray along, you know. And then...
It's the Kevin Bacon game.
It's the Kevin Bacon. And it's so great that he's able to kind of go through his connections and draw out this amazing...
But who doesn't want to play these characters? I mean, they're
I don't
want
to play these characters.
It's a big responsibility.
It's a huge responsibility. I don't want to play any of these characters. I mean... any one of them could have dropped the ball. I mean, Kaa has a very small role in this, in either movie, and see how perfect it is here. I mean, Scarlett Johansson does a great, I mean, we know she's a great voice actor.
And Neil Sethi is amazing. I mean, I feel about Neil Sethi as I felt about Room.
Jacob Tremblay.
Jacob Tremblay. There are some amazing little child actors. This is incredible.
And I'm glad that they stuck with an Indian actor for this and did not change the ethnicity and make it, you know, set in, I don't know, Colombia or Africa or whatever, just to get another child actor. And I'm glad it kind of stuck stuck with that. So,
one final point just before we wrap up on the movie is I really was delighted at the fact that this isn't a musical in the way that the original Disney adaptation was, but they still integrated those musical moments in a way that was surprising and delightful and nostalgic and respectful. So, again, props to the handling of something that is so beloved to all of us, because I still came away humming many of the songs, but this was anything but a musical. So again, just beautifully done. I can't give it a higher accolade. In fact, that's my wrap up. This is a super easy 9 out of 10 for me. I'm tempted to give it my 10. This is as good as I could have hoped it would be.
Give it a 10. Ah, come on.
10 it is. Jungle Book. It's really, honestly, hand on heart, my favorite film since the beginning of 2015.
Yes, D.
So I think this movie is just a tremendous accomplishment. I don't know who I would not recommend to. Maybe the very young. The movie has a few pretty...
Yeah, I thought it was a little bit scary at times.
Yeah, but again, I cannot imagine how they brought this content together. I mean, did they actually shoot in the jungles? And then did they... I mean, some of those animals looked very... They all look very, very real. So did they use zoo animals and did they change their mouths to talk? How did they make them turn a particular way? Is it all CGI? I would pay good money to watch the making of The Jungle Book.
It'll be on a DVD.
Yeah, and, you know, if all it was this little young actor in a green screen for 2 hours, then... God, that's even more difficult, you know, than I had originally thought. But forget all the technical stuff. Just, it's almost like a silent movie. It's like a Chaplin movie in many ways, which is going to transcend culture and language and all of that. Great it doesn't point. Matter if you understand, you know, the subtitles or whatever. I think this is a movie which can play in any corner of the globe and people will get the intended purpose out of it. It's an instant classic. 8.5 out of 10, which is very stingy. And I'm going to bring it down to 8 out of 10.
Really?
Yeah, because I wasn't emotionally connected. As much as I wanted to. I didn't cry.
Damn you, Yazdi.
I know. Heart of stone.
Okay, so this is more than a bare necessity. This is essential. No, critical viewing. Rush out and see this. This is brilliance. Like, I'll say it again, subliminally divine, 10 out of 10.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I can't think
that
of a better
be the
movie.
Ever movie on movie.
This is just stunning. I was speechless. And like I said, I'm giving it the 10 because I can't remember a time where literally as the credits have run, A, I was sad because the movie had come to an end. But secondly, I've never had that feeling where I literally, Joe, could have gone back to the ticket office and bought another ticket and watched it right there and then.
Yeah, I think especially if you're a person who has any connection with animals, then this is, there you go. Know, this is very special film.
Yeah, very special. Yay, Jungle Book.
All right, let's move on to movie number 2 then, which is Keanu.
Okay, so all I want to say is friends hatch a plot to retrieve a stolen kitten by posing as drug dealers for a street gang. This is directed by Peter Atencio. And it's written by Jordan Peele and Alex Rubens, and it stars Keegan-Michael Kay, Jordan Peele, and Tiffany Haddish, amongst others. And Yazdi, you pointed out to us that Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele actually have a show on the Comedy Channel. Yes. They're fairly well known. I didn't know any of their material before I went in, but I was very intrigued to watch a movie about a cat. Especially a kitten. So, Joe, why don't you start us off with this one?
Sweet and very funny. It surprised me, actually, because I watched the trailer for this. This was a movie that I knew nothing about. I'm not familiar with these two guys and their work. And apparently they do have some something of a following. So I was, you know, going in somewhat cold, and the trailer had set me up for something almost a little different to what we got here. What we ended up with was a movie with a genuine heart. I mean, it tonally, it's close to last year's Dope, I think, in some ways, kind of a gangster movie with some very nice non-gangster-like characters in it. And, you know, for a movie that throws the N-word around liberally, it's always done with kind of a wry smile kind of tongue-in-cheek. So I had a lot of fun with this one. It was surprisingly sweet and way more enjoyable than I care to admit.
Yes, Dee.
Comedy is hard. Comedy is very hard. And I don't even laugh. I'm kind of a... I don't laugh as much at movies as most people do. But I laughed a ton at this movie. And I think it's easily the funniest movie I watched this year, which is weird coming. I mean, I almost didn't go for the screening because I was thinking, oh my God, a couple of mobsters who are trying to retrieve a stolen kitten. I mean, I cannot think of a more inane concept. Can you think of anything more inane than that? But I agree with what Joe said. This, I don't know, this movie has a lot of heart. It has, forget the heart, it just is genuinely funny. I was really laughing. I was laughing through most of the movie. It's, you know, sometimes you just want a good time at the cinemas and you don't want, you know, to be bothered about what's wrong with the world. Mm-hmm. And that's when you go and watch Keanu.
This is so ridiculously implausible. But, you know, it's so sweet. And they have so much chemistry. And it has the cutest little kitten who looks exactly like our kitten. Mm-hmm. I couldn't help liking this movie. I mean, I think it kind of chugs along as opposed to boils to anything hilariously funny, but it's funny enough that it makes you belly laugh enough that I couldn't help liking it. It was a good time at the movie, and I never thought I'd say that. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, the premise is off-putting.
The premise is really bad.
Frankly,
it's, I mean, really ridiculous.
You know, you'll see it in the trailer, but the trailer looks like a couple of gangsters get their cat kidnapped and
it's like Breaking Bad with a kitten.
But it, yeah, right. I mean, but somehow it hangs together because of the inherent honesty about who the characters are, right? They aren't gangbangers, and they're thrown into this world where they do, you know, these ridiculous actions, and somehow they manage to not get busted. And so it kind of builds and it builds. And so there's some genuine drama in the movie. I actually was worried for them in almost every situation because they're so hapless and so possibly ill-equipped for the scenarios and situations that they get themselves into, that I forgive the movie all its foibles with its ridiculous plot twists at the end and revelations about characters. And
But it's a bit funny how the thing that kind of ties it together is, however nasty and bad and, you know, criminal these people are, a cute little kitten will melt people's hearts. I mean, that's why I loved it. But then there's this secondary George Michael thing going on, which is really, really, really funny. And how can you not have a smile on your face when you hear, you know, Faith 100 times in the movie?
Or Careless Whispers.
Yeah, it's... It's kind of genius in some ways, right? It's so ridiculous, though. I can't believe that.
I think
that
you almost need a commitment. I mean, I'm trying to pitch this about, you know, there are these two black guys. One of the guy is a straight, you know, he's very straight and he's nerdy. The other guy,
Very
kind of
non-African-American,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for a black guy, he's very non-African-American. And his favorite artist is actually George Michael. And people are like, what? You know, it's George Michael. Nobody even knows who he is these days. You know, and to as much content, to have so much of the dialogue around George Michael, that takes a lot of commitment. But it's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. Yeah, yeah. And I think I like all the other characters in the movie. There is this, you know, high C, you know, and then there is this whole, like, you know, group of people that...
That's so funny.
This posse that they have. And you know, as ridiculous as it is that everybody wants this kitten, right? Everybody wants this kitten. I can see it. It's a very cute kitten, but...
It was just so cute. It was like our kitten. Yeah. Jason Mitchell, who was... I mean, for God's sake, Jason Mitchell was almost like an Oscar nominee for, you know,
Straight Outta Compton
for playing Eazy-E. And here he is in this movie. He's hilarious. He's hilarious.
And Luis Guzman, he's so good.
Yeah.
He's always good, but he's so good at the end of the movie. And Will Forte is here and it's good. It's good. I want this movie to do well.
Yeah, and it is doing well. It is doing well.
I hope so, yeah.
Okay, anything else to say on this one? There isn't really much more to say about this movie.
No, no, I mean...
Go, Joe.
It's very lightweight, throwaway entertainment, but entertainment it is. And it delivers everything that you could hope for in a comedy. It's joyful. It makes you smile. You know, it has moments of drama here and there. So I'm going to give this... between 7 or 8, but I'll be generous because it really did give me some genuine laughs, and that's what I look for. So 8 out of 10.
Yes,
Steve. Yeah, an 8 out of 10 for me as well. Bumped up from a 7.5 like you. Here's what I think you should do. I think if you're kind of bored one weekend, or if you have nothing else to do, make a double feature with John Wick and Keanu. And I think they're both movies. They're both movies about, you know, people who are driven to extremes by virtue of little pets. And John Wick is a good action movie. And this one is a good comedy. And you can kind of make an animal-centric double feature. But it's a lot of fun. Go watch this movie if you want it. I also love, there's this great dialogue about whether it's okay to use the N-word or not. It's something that we've discussed for a long time. And I loved it, how it kind of prefaces that up front and then gleefully uses the N-word through the rest of the movie. But except for the language, well, and there's a little bit of content as well. I wish kids could watch this as well, but some of the content is fairly adult.
I'm kind of glad it's an R. I think it wears its R proudly. I kind of like it because it makes it just much more enjoyable. I think if this had not been an R, I think I would have dropped a point.
Mm.
I think the R allows it to kind of go to places that make it more entertaining. This is fun. 7 out of 10. That kitten was adorable. That kitten was so cute.
And it's an auspicious start, I think, for Key and Peele and the movies.
So is this their movie debut?
This is their movie debut, yeah. I look forward
I'm
to
gonna definitely
stuff.
Go back and start watching their stuff on TV.
The commitment, I think, is what comes across, because there are some preposterous, absurd moments of dialogue that if you weren't 110% bought into the way this scene was going to look and play, it would show. But they roll their sleeves up and they just go for it. And that was wonderful.
Yeah. Two good movies this week.
And an uncredited, hilarious Anna Faris.
Yes, I was just going to say that. Thank you for the reminder.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, she's always great when she shows up.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
Mail at moviewallers.com, twitter.com/moviewallers, instagram.com/moviewallers as well.
I'll put a picture of our kitten on.
We are now Instagram live, so check us out now. Facebook.com/moviewallers as well. That's a great way to interact with us. So do. And until our next podcast, it's Too Many Movies, Too Little Time. Good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.